a mother's connection. You may be seated as we pray. Lord, we're grateful for this day that you've given. We thank you for the gift of mothers. We thank you that we can celebrate with them today to express our gratitude not only to them, but also to you for sending us mothers in our lives. We treasure the things that you shared with them. Many, Lord, had a connection that was deeper than we can even imagine. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless us to reflect on that as we heed and hear your word today. We humbly ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. There are several things that would capture our attention as we think about this first miracle of Jesus. And it also raises some questions about mothers in general and how do they sometimes know what's going on in the hearts of their children and how to pray about that and how to seek God on their behalf. Certainly, we're not saying that all mothers are prayerful, but certainly I thank God many of us can say we had a praying mama. Someone that prayed for us, that guided us, that offered the guidance and expressions of love that we needed. But as we reflect on this particular passage and Jesus responding to the need that was there, but also to the request that was made by his mother Mary, it raises some questions. And this also points to the fact that many of us, we need to not just read the Bible casually. We need to study it. The Bible talks about studying to show ourselves approved workmen unto God that need not be ashamed. And there are several questions that we want to try to reflect on today. This is the first miracle that Jesus performed. Before he went public with his ministry, and certainly the Messiah would come with signs and wonders so that people would believe on him. But why did he perform the miracle where he did? And where was it? Cana of Galilee. The second question that we want to ask is the type of miracle. Now, Jesus could have done anything. He could have caused the blind to see, the lame to walk. He could have raised the dead, which he did, all of those. But why turn water into wine? Then we have the question of who he performed it for, and we'll be bringing that out in more detail. This was not the request of the couple, not the request of the governor, but of Jesus' mother. Here she was making the request, and that's why we're preaching from the message, A Mother's Connection, because it seemed that they make requests for their children often because their children need prayer. They need direction. But then lastly, why was this miracle performed? What was the purpose for this miracle? And it reminds us that we should never pray to God to do something if there's not something that we're asking God to glorify and to lift up his own name so that he might be exalted. Because we know that the miracle won't be appreciated if it's not for God's glory. Are you still here? So let's look at these questions. First of all, where did Jesus perform this miracle? It was not in Jerusalem. It was not at a religious site. This was in Cana of Galilee. Cana of Galilee. Later on, one of the disciples would even say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth," which was a part of Galilee. This dark region, this place north of Jerusalem, that's where Jesus performed his first miracle. Now, as we look at where he performed the miracle, we have to ask ourselves, did God have this all planned? And of course, we know the answer. But then secondly, did God reveal to us where this miracle would be performed? And we find the answer, the prophet Isaiah, in his prophecy about Jesus being the wonderful counselor, the everlasting father, prince of peace, he brings out where he would manifest his glory. Beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations, that's where Cana was located. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. So we can see Jesus going to a place where socially they were in darkness, Politically, the Romans cared nothing about them. And spiritually, they didn't really know about God. And that's why later on or earlier, Nathanael, one of Jesus' disciples, would say, "Can anything good come out of that place?" People were wondering, "Can anything good come out of some of the neighborhoods that we live around or live in?" And yes. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And so he revealed himself in this land of darkness. And certainly there's hope for us. Anytime there's darkness or confusion in our life, that's where Jesus shows up. And we can say amen to that. I'm just glad that the couple thought about inviting Jesus. But then I notice also, not only was it a question about where Jesus performed a miracle, but what kind of miracle? You mean he turned water into wine? Now, some cultures have problems with that. Why? Because we say, well, I mean, depending on where people are, if you're a wino, you probably say, "I'm going to hang around this guy." But it was not a question of what that culture was concerned with. Now, truly, there were people who were drunken in that day, but wine was a part of the culture and of the way that people live. As a matter of fact, we find that wine was a symbol of blessing because they grew vineyards in that day. And when Isaac blessed Jacob, this is what he said: "Therefore, God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn." And look at this, and wine. It was a symbol of joy, of blessing, of festivity. And truly, as it is was then and as it is today, we should never overindulge in anything. But wine was not considered that alcoholic beverage that we consume today to excess. As a matter of fact, Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, but what? Fill with the Spirit." But the wine that he's speaking of and the wine that Jesus, in the context of where Jesus is ministering, they ran out of wine. Now, this was a problem. It was a problem socially, because if a couple at their marriage runs out of resources for their guests, they're going to be unsuccessful in life. That's a bad sign. You don't want to run out of stuff when folks come to your wedding unless you have a small wedding. I can remember when my wife and I had our wedding. Of course, we only had family that was there, and her cousin Earlene played the organ, and to "Here Comes the Bride," and she started it four times. Small wedding's one thing, but when you've got invited guests, when you've got people there, it's embarrassing to run out of wine, which says something about our lives. We are people of limited resources. You don't have all of the abundance of things. Even the millionaire, he doesn't recognize that there are limited resources. You need God. And therefore, I'm so thankful that when you pick up John chapter 2, you find out the people invited Jesus. They invited him. And he came to their celebration. He wants to come to your celebration. He wants to come into my life and to celebrate the goodness of God. And so the wine was a symbol of blessing. But you can't have joy without God. You'll never be satisfied without God. And the third question, I'm moving right along because my wife is looking at me saying, "Look, I got to make a presentation." So who did Jesus perform this miracle for? Now, the couple, they knew that they only had so much, right? They knew that there was only so much of the wine. They knew that there was only so much of whatever the food that they were serving, and they ran out of that. And rather than them coming to Jesus, here was Mary. And you see something about her character. She cared about people. And when you look at Jesus, he's a typical man. Remember, he was perfect man, perfect God. And his mom runs up to him and said, "You know, they run out of wine." Jesus said, what business is that of us?" He asked that question because Mary was coming to Jesus as mom. And Jesus was supposed, as the son of Mary, do something. And Jesus said, wait a minute. My time has not come yet. I want to tell you something. I'm not only your son, I'm the son of God. And I don't take orders as far as working miracles, doing my own will. And certainly I don't take orders just to do something because it needs to be done. I've got to glorify him. I've got to look to him. I've got to honor his name. I cannot take a step without God directing me. Jesus was the Messiah. And at this point, he was saying to his mom, we've got to listen to what God's plan is. We got to go by God's timing. How many times do you and I get upset over something that's missing in life? So here we come to God. God, you got to do it right now. And God says, not time. What do you mean it's not time? I'm in an emergency. God says it's not time. And when God says it's not time, guess what? You wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Don't worry if God doesn't meet your timetable. Now, in this passage, he did. But all of the time in life, he may not come when you want him to. But guess what? Still on time. Everybody still with me? So Jesus performed this miracle for his mom, but then the Bible said he didn't do it just because his mom had asked him. We have the why. Why did Jesus do it? If you read in verse number 11, it says that Jesus did this so his disciples would believe on him. His hour had come to manifest his glory, not as Mary's son, but as the Savior of the world. Here was the beginning of Jesus' miracles. And that's why we look at the connection that Mary had. She knew that something had to be done, that an effort had to be made to help this family in need. Ministry is all about helping people in need. What is ministry? Helping people in need. It's not about, hey, you know, let's have a good time and let's do all of these wonderful things. Certainly when we come to church, we want to have a good time in the Lord, right? But if we go out of here with no dedication to God's service, we've missed the entire point. We said amen, then we go back to our way of living, and there's no real connection. The connection with God is one that says if God works miracles. By the way, how many of y'all still believe that God works miracles? All right, yeah, he does so. And if you don't believe it, try waking up without God. Try that. Just for a show of hands, I want to know from you today, I want to ask a couple of questions. One, do you think that who's more spiritual, men or women? All of those that think women are more spiritual, raise your hand. All of you that think men are more spiritual, some of y'all, you like you're saying, raise your hand. I'm going to tell you that even in my own life, sometimes I get to doing things in the natural. How many of y'all think that women are more spiritual than men? All right, how many of you think that men are more spiritual than women? I only see one or two hands. Okay, all right. Let me ask the second question, similar to that. How many of you think that women will pray quicker than men? How many of you think that men will pray quicker than women? Okay, I've got a few hands. All right. And my wife, she raised her hand because I pray every day. But let me tell you, it's based on routine. Because if I know if I don't start the day praying, I'm going to end up leaning to my own understanding. Going with my own reason. As it appears, as you look through the Bible, when things happen and you read the scripture, God had to get the attention of the man, whereas the women would turn to God. The culture of that day was one where women, not to say that men didn't seek God, but God had to chase some of them down, had to knock some of them off a horse or off a beast, had to get their attention, whereas women were more alert to spiritual things. I'm going to do a survey one Sunday, and we're going to really take a good poll on that. So Mary, when something happens, she turns to Jesus. But now here's the thing. Was she depending on her physical connection with Jesus or her spiritual connection? This was her son. She'd watched him for 30 years. She knew everything about him, or did she? So here's how we make the connection. Number one, Mary took things in her heart. She treasured it. If you go back and read Luke 2 and verse 19, she stored these things up. She treasured it. She knew she had it. Just like my wife knows that she's got a certain number of pair of shoes. I think she does. I'm not going to pick her anymore because I'll not have any more rice pudding for a long, long time. But Mary treasured things in her heart, even the things that she didn't understand, she treasured it. She said, this is useful. This is something that I can depend on. And knowing that she treasured these things in her heart, she watched Jesus. First of all, it was a miraculous conception. All right? The Bible said that she was, that in other words, Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit. No intervention, no human intervention. This is divine. That was a miracle. She treasured that. When Jesus was in the temple teaching the elders, she treasured that. She understood that God was working through him. And so when Jesus said to her, watch this, woman, what business is that of us? Okay? What do we have to do with this situation? And then he said, my time is not yet. And yet Mary goes ahead and says, well, whatever he says, you do it. Well, how do you know he wants to do it? She understood him. She had a connection. It's the same with the woman who came to seek Jesus and her daughter was demon-possessed, the Syrophoenician woman. And Jesus said, it's not proper to give to the dogs the children's bread. And the woman said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. In that response, Jesus was not saying no to Mary. He was saying, I've got to follow God's timing. And Mary said, I'm spiritual enough to realize that when there's a need, God will provide you every need. How many of you know that? You've got to take things to heart. Stop saying to yourself, why is this happening to me? Everything that happens is for a reason. You may not understand it, but it's always an opportunity for God to do something. Second thing that happened, Jesus was available. Think about that. Mary looked around, and next thing she knew, her son was there and his disciples. Now, why are they there? You know, sometimes we do things because we want to hang out, right? How many young people we got here? Yeah, I got a couple of young people. Y'all just want to hang out, just want to chill. Well, do you recognize that there's always an opportunity to honor God? Always. Jesus is not just invited to the wedding. I don't know who sent out the wedding invitations. I don't know whether it was the parents or the couple themselves, but they sent one to Jesus. And guess what? He showed up. When Christ shows up, he's available. And I want to say to you today, he's available. Why do people go through need after need, crisis after crisis, and they don't call on God? He may not go in and say, well, I'm going to change everything that's wrong and make it right. He just may give you the strength to make it through. But I can tell you this, if you pray to him, God will answer. God will provide. How's that? Amen? So Jesus was available. Thirdly, a miracle was needed. Some may say this was small. On the scale of important things, if Jesus needed to raise the dead, what about turning water into wine? Some may say that it was small, but if you look at the end result was not just the miracle itself. All right? The end result is that the disciples got to see that the man that they were following had miracle-working power. If they had just gone home and they had only talked about, man, that wine sure was good, they would have missed the whole point and probably would have got drunk. But anyway, they would have missed the entire point. But if they left that event by saying, we saw Jesus work a miracle, which reminds me, miracle working is not some type of sideshow. It's not something that you invite people out, hey, come see some miracles. It's always a place where you first of all recognize that God is in the midst. Secondly, you see what God can do. Then lastly, we get to benefit from what God is doing in our lives. I'm so thankful that he works miracles every day. And I'm telling you, we're entering into a time now where Lord knows we need some miracles. We're in dark times and we're in confusing times, but thank God for the connection that we have. Ponder things in your heart. Don't just let a day go by where you don't think about the goodness of God. Know that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Know that he's available to work in your life, to do exceeding abundant and above all that you can even ask or think. And then know that you need miracles every day. This is a journey that you can't depend on human strength. Mary had that connection. And I want you to have that connection before you leave here today. You say, well, preacher, how do you do that? How do you do that? You know, I thank God my mama prayed for me when I couldn't pray for myself or wouldn't pray for myself. How many of y'all glad you had a praying mama? Amen. She told us that, she would tell us that we were kind of, you know, had a few loose screws up here. And it took until we got a certain age or met the Lord. But she prayed not only that we would be safe, but she prayed that we would live right. I'll share a little bit about that before we close. But acknowledging that God is in control. I don't know what Mary was thinking when she came to Jesus. She may have been thinking, well, son, they need some help here. And Jesus said, do you really want me to take charge or are you in control? We've got to struggle with that. Because a lot of us wrestle with God being in control. What if he takes me in a direction that I'm not ready for? Well, what if? But look at where your life is now. Do you want the chaos to continue, or do you want to say, God, take charge of my life? Here's the point. Never approach God asking anything if you're not willing to accept, nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. I think a lot of us have issues with that. Especially when we got in our mind what we want to see happen. We got issues with that. But when you can turn it over to the Lord and know that God's going to work things out, that's when God can question you and say, now, okay, are you sure that you want me involved with this? And Jesus said, what agreement, what relationship do we have in this matter? Do you want me to be your son or do you want me to be the Messiah? See, we want this kind of controllable God who'll give us what we want, and then we can kind of put him back. But that's not the way. How many of y'all know that's not the way God is? Amen. You can't, once you say, I need him in my life, he is God, and he's in control. Matter of fact, the Bible said the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. They're directed by God. You got to acknowledge that he's in control. Secondly, you got to trust God's provision. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. So guess what? These servants now, they have the word of Jesus. Has God ever asked you all to do some strange things? You know, here's an emergency and God says, pray. Well, what good is prayer going to do? Prayer availeth much. Well, what good is praising God going to do? Your praise is lifted up to God. As a matter of fact, battles have been won while people were lifting their hands in praise. Because they didn't have to fight. The battle wasn't theirs anyway. So here's the thing. You got to trust God's provision. So there were some water pots over there. And Jesus said, okay, go over there and take those water pots and just pour into them and then dip out. Take to the governor. What? Now the servants are thinking to themselves, this is not going to work. You thought to yourself when God said to do something, this is not going to work. But then all of a sudden, your obedience takes place. Your obedience to what God said begins to take hold. And then God works through the obedience, when he sees you obeying his word, listening to what he says, recognizing that this is God in this. Remember, the miracle wasn't in the water. The miracle wasn't in the fact that the servants were going to do it. The miracle was in the word that Jesus spoke to them. Had he not spoken, they could have dipped all day and it would have still been water. Just like us in our lives. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you, but I'm going to do this my way. And it will never bring forth the results that God has in mind. the only way that we can get results, and Mary knew that, she said, now, you got to listen to whatever he tells you. Don't question God. Don't say, well, I'm going to try it this time. Ladies and gentlemen, you're setting yourself up for failure. But if you can trust him every time and know that he's faithful, trust God's provision. Rely on him for direction. Ask him for direction. Ask him to guide you. Acknowledge his control. And then lastly, believe in God's plan. They filled the water pots. They drew out. And they didn't see any miracle until the governor had an expression on his face. Sometimes you're not going to see a miracle right at once. You're not going to see. Just like on the farm. How many of y'all planted something? And my son, you know, he started working on the farm a couple of years ago. And he thought that the day you planted was the day it came up. That doesn't work that way. You plant it, and then you trust that God's going to bring to pass what he said. They didn't see the miracle until the governor said, you have saved the best wine for last. Let me tell you something. As we trust God, his best is yet to come. His best in your life is yet to come. You've got to believe that this plan of God, faithfully executed, it will work. God is on time. He is never late. Let me just share a couple of things before I close this message. Some things that I can say that my mother had a connection. Number one, she always believed in, no matter what happens, always confess to God. She taught me that. Even when you know that you're wrong, confess to God. Say, Lord, I'm wrong. I need your help. I need your direction. When you confess to God, it's really agreeing with God. God works in our lives. Second thing that she said, always know that God is there. There are times where you will be lonely. You'll be all alone and no one to seemingly care about where you are and what's going on in your life. But guess who listens and guess who cares? You are never alone. Why? Because Jesus made a promise, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Then the third and final lesson, always live the life that God can use you. Always live that life so that God can use you. And some of you are going to leave here today in a few minutes. Some of you are going to leave with a good connection, saying, I know that God is in control. I know that he's got a plan for my life. And regardless of what happens, I know that there are divine resources that God's going to use to not only bless me, but to use me to bless others. You'll have that connection. Some of you are going to say, well, it's just Mother's Day. I just came to hang out. I just came to chill out. And you're going to leave here today and have a need where your life is going to lack something. And if you've got a connection, you'll be able to say, thank God he provided for my life. Your choice. Your choice. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your grace and your awesome goodness. Thank you that our mothers had a connection, that they believed in you. They trusted in your word. Thank you for Mary, the lesson that she teaches us today, a woman of faith, a woman who realized that God is in control and that he's moving in our lives. I thank you for that. But I pray that all of us would have that connection with God, that we would allow you to work in our lives in extraordinary ways. I pray this in Jesus' strong name and for his glory. And all the people said, amen. We want to give the invitation, if there's one today, perhaps you're searching for the truth and you want to know if God is real, that if he is this awesome God, that can he provide for your life? Can he make a way for you? Can he help you if you are lacking resources and things in your life? And the answer is yes, he can. But you've got to make the connection. I'm going to ask that we all stand. And if there's one today, we invite you to come.